If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out-of-the-box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then you've come to the right place. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And this is the Multiamory Podcast. On this episode of the Multiamory Podcast, we're talking about six essential questions to ask any new partner to avoid some major pitfalls down the road.
Yes? But first, it's our anniversary, you guys.
Holy shit. Wow.
It's what, our third anniversary?
Yeah, this is our third year of doing this crazy show.
So Multiamory Season 3 has now begun.
Yes.
Oh my God.
This is it.
Wow.
The beginning of Season 3.
It's so crazy. And like, how many episodes do we have now? Like, almost.
This will be like 133.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You guys.
This is so great.
This is so great. No, seriously, it's awesome. Like, just, I mean, I think that we've probably said this multiple times on former anniversaries, but just the fact that we didn't succumb to pod fade and we didn't fade into oblivion. We're still doing it. And we have a great community of people listening to us and people that we actually like hanging out with. And it's just, it's great.
Yeah, just the amount of friends that we've made with people, both because they're Patreon supporters that we've met at live events, and then also just other people we've met through different polyamory discussion groups and workshops that we've done and stuff like that. It's really cool to see how much this has grown from just this crazy idea that the three of us had 3 years ago.
See, all the people who ask us, like, where do you find polyamorous people? All you have to do is make your own podcast and then go create a Patreon page and they will come
then
to
they'll
you.
Come
to,
it's super easy.
Build
just
it
like,
and they will come.
Just never stop talking about polyamory or relationships for a single waking moment. Just don't stop.
Just never stop.
Like, barely stop to take a breath. Like, don't stop. Just keep talking about it. Annoy the fuck out of everybody else around you. Mm-hmm. Start recording it, and then the people will come to you. It's true.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Easy. We've solved your another relationship problem right there. That was a freebie.
You're welcome, by the way.
You're welcome. That was a freebie. What we're actually talking about today, though, is these six essential questions that we have put together for asking a new partner to help avoid some major pitfalls down the road. And so, Dedeker, you had something you wanted to share about.
Yeah, so
about this.
In my work as a coach, I've heard the same story a billion times. A billion times. And it usually goes a little something like this.
Break it down.
I'll break it down.
Break it down.
I wish I could give you like a weird musical / rap breakdown version of it, but
that would be really cool.
That'll be further down the line. Maybe by the time our fourth anniversary rolls around, we'll have a musical episode of the podcast.
There you go.
Yes.
So, okay, the story that I've heard a billion times from a billion different clients respectively is, oh, I met this great poly guy who's in an open relationship and we started dating and he's just so wonderful and we're starting to fall in love and it's just been fantastic. But now, much later, now that we've gone on like 5 or 6 dates or now that we've actually started developing feelings for each other, suddenly I found out that actually we're not allowed to have sleepovers or actually we're not allowed to have anal sex or actually I'm not allowed to be seen in public with him. And now what do I do? Because that makes me feel really crappy and not important, but now I have feelings for this guy. So what the heck do I do?
And this is not just gender specific.
No,
right?
It's not just gender specific.
Your example is just,
yeah, that was just for the sake of an example. But this happens all the time where it is like, I met this person who identifies as poly or who is in an open relationship or has another partner or something like that. And it was fantastic. And while we were so busy, just drowning in NRE, we didn't ask each other anything at all about what to actually expect from this relationship or what to actually expect as far as the agreements or rules or restrictions they have in their other relationship.
Can I just ask, has this ever happened to either of you? Like, have you been kind of kept secret from anyone?
Oh, like those specific examples?
Yeah, I mean, I was just trying to remember if, like, I ever, I guess all of us haven't been secondaries. We have, but not like to the extent that this might happen, I guess. Or we've been secondaries to people who are pretty damn open.
There's a whole range.
Yeah.
There's a whole range of ways that this can look. And yeah.
Of course.
As in Dedeker's example, this does primarily come up with people in primary hierarchical relationships with somebody else, where there's some third party who's kind of setting some rules or limitations on your relationship. That's where a lot of this comes up. But that's not the only way that this can come up. It can also just be that person personally has certain limitations on things that they actually want in their life or things they've already decided they don't want. I've been on the other side of this where I was in a relationship with someone for a few months, and during a conversation when it finally came up that I didn't want to like create a home and settle down with any partner, her or anyone else, that shortly after that she broke up with me, and that was one of the reasons was just I can't get past that. That's something that is important to me to have as a possibility in any relationship. So, you know, it can go either way, but it's a simple thing that we often don't think to ask, and we don't really have a cultural script for asking it.
Right.
Because in monogamous dating, there's just this assumption that everyone eventually wants to move in with someone and that they eventually want to have kids with them if they find the right person,
right?
That's the story we're told. So no one... You know, we're not really taught to go in asking, hey, what is it that you are looking for? What is it that you're available for? And then in polyamory, there's this added level of another partner possibly influencing their decisions.
Yeah. So I think it's really especially important to get this kind of information early on, and especially if you are dating somebody who has other partners, and especially if they're other long-term partners, because that means that you're walking into essentially an entire ecosystem that's already been going on, functioning or maybe not functioning, for this entire time before you showed up. And it's really important for you to figure out, like, where do I actually fit into this? And is this something that I'm okay with how I fit into it? And so there has been this list of questions floating around the internet, which has been labeled as, quote unquote, the glass ceiling questions.
Google glass ceiling questions, you'll find it.
And it's a very long list of questions. And that's good. You know, it takes you through all these very specific questions of asking about agreements in your other relationship or asking about restrictions and things like that. And if you want to use that list of questions, that's fantastic. However, we wanted to come up with something that was a little bit more practical, a little bit more easy to remember, and a little bit more fundamental, I guess, so that you know, even if you, you know, when you're starting up a new relationship with somebody, you know, like, okay, these are the important things to ask about so that I can get a sense of the lay of the land before knowing whether or not I want to get more intimate with this person or if I want to step back.
Or even just, I'll develop this relationship, but I will at least know these things about it, so I'm not going to be blindsided by them later on.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they're not necessarily deal breakers.
Not at all.
However,
depends on your situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And wasn't the list initially, the one that we looked at was 26 questions, but we've known them to be like as long as 50 questions.
Yeah, there's some longer
versions. So we're trying to truncate this a bit. Yeah.
So what we were working on coming up with was an easy way to remember this. So when you're out on that first date, or if you're having a video chat before your first date, or even just messaging, that you're not going to go, oh, I brought my printout here, or let me pull up these 50
questions. Let me pull up these 50 questions to grill you on.
That instead, you can just have in your head, oh, let me go through this mnemonic. Have I covered all of these things? And then you at least know that you have a foundation. This isn't meant to be exhaustive, but you'll at least get a good sense of what to expect from this relationship.
Yeah. So what's our mnemonic?
So our mnemonic is the word movies. So the joke here is that if you remember from our first dates episode, we said that going to the movies is a shitty first date. And I don't recommend it because you're both sitting there not talking to each other.
Not interacting.
It's just not a good way to get to know somebody. But so don't take your date to the movies, but do take them to the movies by asking them these six questions.
Okay, so movies, M-O-V-I-E-S.
In case you failed spelling.
In case you don't know how to spell movies. but let's start out with the very first letter. What does our M stand for?
Metamores.
Yes. So what does this mean? This means, what is the status of my metamores or my future metamores? This is things like, do you have a don't ask, don't tell policy where you can date other people, but you don't talk to your partner about it? Am I allowed to contact your partner? Are you expecting that I'll have a relationship with your partner too, mm-hmm. and not just you? Mm-hmm. These are things that a lot of times we don't even think about, mm-hmm. but can come up later on. And be shocking.
Yeah.
Oh, your partner thought this was going to be a threesome.
Exactly.
I didn't know I was going on a date with him or her as well.
Right.
Right. A whole host
makes sense, because when you're going out on a first date, you're usually so focused on just the relationship between the person sitting across the table from you, mm-hmm. that you forget to think about, like, oh, right, this person does have other partners attached to them. And so it is important to figure out, what are the expectations? Because, yeah, either the extreme of the expectation is that you will never contact my other partner, or the other end of the spectrum of the expectation is you will get into a full-blown romantic and sexual relationship with my other partner also. Both of those can be equally problematic, but those are definitely things that if you know those sooner rather than later, it won't be a nasty surprise later on. Yes, Emily?
This one also can start delving into the question of hierarchy.
Right.
I think, like, whether or not this person operates under a true hierarchy, if they have a primary partner, if they don't, and then kind of what that means to them. Do they have, like, a live-in partner? And we'll keep going on with that and what that might mean or not mean for the relationship, but absolutely trying to figure out what exactly your metamores are to the person who you're potentially dating is an important thing.
I mean, and I guess the precursor question to that is even just, who are my metamores?
Right.
You know, if you're meeting someone online
the
and they haven't talked about who their partners are, just the straight up, like, so, like, who else are you seeing? Like, what are those relationships like?
And next we have O, which is openness. So what we mean by this is not, how emotionally open are you? Or kind of these vague questions.
I mean, you can ask that if you want.
Sure. But the point of this is,
I wonder how someone would ever answer that. I'm actually not very emotionally open.
Sorry. I'm closed.
Good luck with that.
Sorry, yeah. No, what this means is, how open are you about being polyamorous? Because this is important for things like, can I be seen in public with you? Is it okay for me to post something about us on social media? Which social media? Can I tag you in things or not? Are there parts of your life where you're in the closet about being polyamorous and it needs to stay that way? Mm-hmm. And then this can also transfer into things like, if you know them through work or maybe are connected to them through work, that might mean that any sort of work function, you have to act totally platonic together. Mm-hmm. So these can also just, like I was saying before, not just about a primary partner putting rules on you, but also just practical things as mm-hmm. well.
And yeah, and yeah. I think, like Em was saying, is that these things aren't necessarily straight up deal breakers, that
right.
it's just for you to know, you know, that if someone is in a situation where they can't necessarily be affectionate in public, or mm-hmm. there are certain spaces where they can't totally be open, then that's just good to know ahead of time.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I have some friends who are in the industry and they don't want their coworkers or the people around them to know that they're poly, because it might affect their performances or anything, or like how people see them or view them. So
absolutely. Yeah. And that happens in a ton of different industries where people
are
worried about that. Whether or not that's, how valid a concern that is up for you to decide for yourself and for them to decide for themselves. But yeah, it's just, so the second one is O for openness, is how open are you versus how closeted are you, so that I can be mm-hmm. respectful of that and also make sure that that fits with the way that I live my life. Mm-hmm. For example, if someone wanted to start dating me, but they were totally closeted, they would have to be so completely unattached from me.
It's true. That'd be
because
difficult.
The fact that I'm polyamorous is so obvious to anyone who even tries to look. And this actually came up once, not from someone who is really closeted, but someone who had started dating me, and her very Christian mom just looked up my
Googled
first name.
You?
Just looked
oh,
up my
shit.
First name Probably because she saw it on Facebook or something.
Wait, just your first name? Like,
yeah,
she just put in Jace?
Yeah, and or maybe Jace Los Angeles or, you know, something. But she found Multiamory and wrote a whole long thing about how I was, you know, leading her on a path to hell and was like a cult leader. And
oh, you definitely are. All of those things.
Emily does not help at all.
Yeah. Sorry.
But anyway, in that situation, it was, you know, just her dealing with her mom. It wasn't... it wasn't a huge freak out for her. It was just I guess I should have told my mom about this sooner. But that can definitely happen. Right. And so it's an important thing to have that conversation early on.
So I guess that's the word of warning to anybody who's ever going to be dating us.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to be at least a little bit out if anyone knows that we're dating.
If anyone tries to Google
your
partner. If you have parents or moms like mine who just love Facebook stalking. Anyone who comes into your life, just be aware of that.
Oh, man.
What's the next one?
All right, it's Vito. Do you do that shit? So...
So that's the only question. Power. It's just Vito. Vito, motherfucker, do you do it?
Yeah.
Do you do it? I would say, at least for me, and I think the stance we tend to take on this show, is if anything on this list was a deal breaker, or what I think should be a deal breaker, it would be this one. Mm-hmm. There is some nuance to the question, though, right? Is just...
Well...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like... Do your partners have veto power potentially, or do you have veto power even with them?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I'd be interested in that. Like, do you practice that within any of your partnerships? Because to me, that would mean like it would be a hierarchical partnership in some way that
somehow,
one person has veto power over another potential person.
Well, there's other sort of nuanced parts to this that I have heard of some people trying to make the argument for defending veto by saying, well, because we have kids is often used as an excuse for veto, but because we have kids, we have the right to veto veto the other person's partners within the first 3 months. But after 3 months, then we can't veto anymore.
Or
sort of like if this sets off red flags for me. Oh no, I've definitely heard this one.
Yeah, me neither.
But there's like a sunset clause on the veto.
Yeah, that's the statute of limitations question. It's in the 26 questions.
That makes sense now.
Yeah.
But that's what that is. Is it means, or maybe it's only 1 month, or maybe it's they just have to have met you first
before
the relationship can progress to having sex or past more than a couple dates, or there's different ways this can look. It's not just a straight up veto. There are nuanced ways,
of course,
and it is up to you to decide which of those you're okay with, if any.
I just always wonder, like with vetoing, what exactly is it about another person that would make a partner say, like, no, you're not allowed to date that? Like, they know you better than you know yourself or something.
Oh, it's
like, this person's going to be bad for you, or I don't even know. It's just so weird to me.
Yeah, it happens, though.
It happens so
Absolutely.
Commonly. The thing is, though, that the reason, I mean, I don't want to get off on a whole tangent about veto. There have been plenty of people in the poly community have covered the toxic nature of veto so many times. You know, that's not where we want to take this episode. But I just think that the insidious thing about veto agreements is because of the fact that it rarely is this direct, like, I get to give a yes or no on whoever your partner is, or like, I'm going to say no, and then you automatically break up with them. Like, sometimes it's that yes, but usually it's more subtle. It is more of, well, we're going to come together and talk about it. And if we decide that this person's just not good, then we're going to decide to, it's like our agreement is going to be that you're going to break up with this person, essentially.
Yeah.
That it can couch itself and hide itself in something that seems much more reasonable when it really is still quite toxic. And I think that's why it becomes common, is because no one thinks like, well, I'm the asshole who wants to dictate my partner's love life. They just think any other number of reasons of like, well, I just want to protect our marriage, or I want to protect our family, or I just want to make sure that we both feel good and that we're strong in this. It can be masked.
Too involved or something.
Yeah, it can be masked with some very good intentions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Another thing about this that can make it a little tricky, and you might not get to that in this question, unfortunately, but is that things that essentially are like veto but are not called that and are much more subtle are also this case that we see a lot of someone starting a new relationship, it's going well, and then their primary relationship is not going very well, and they'll end this new good relationship to spend time to work on the existing one that's having problems.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
It happens a ton, but it is this subtle thing where, well, that wasn't necessarily a veto, it was their choice to do it, but obviously it is being influenced by them prioritizing fixing this one relationship over the one
over another,
that isn't a problem on its own. So there's subtle ways this can look, but at least to have this conversation and make sure that the person is aware of some of these issues, that they've actually given it some thought and they understand that each new relationship is an autonomous thing and not just something to serve one other relationship.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For a long time now, we've been fans of AdamandEve.com for getting sex toys or lingerie or accessories, things like that. It's just a fantastic resource with a huge selection. And now, not only do we have a fantastic offer, but we also have a promo code that will work on AdamMale.com and EvesToys.com, which are their sites specifically for LGBTQ audiences. And our code is fantastic. It's 50% off of almost any item in the store and free discreet shipping when you use our code MULTI.
Yes, we love AdamandEve.com and have for years. They are our oldest and longest sponsor, and they just keep on giving great gifts to us and to our listeners. You can bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom by going to AdamandEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com and select any one item. It can be, you know, an adventurous new toy or anything you desire, something fun, something sexy, whatever sounds good.
So just enter offer code MULTI at checkout and you'll get 50% off almost any item plus free shipping. That's MULTI, M-U-L-T-I at AdamandEve.com, AdamMale.com, or EvesToys.com. This is an exclusive offer that is specific to this podcast and it's better than any offer that is currently available on their site. So again, use code MULTI to get you not just the 50% discount, but also the 100% free shipping. Code MULTI.
Okay, let's get to the rest of our acronym, anagram. It counts as an acronym, right? Acronym. It's an acronym.
This is an acronym.
Not acronym, not an anagram.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
so we're on to E's.
Yeah, so we did MOV, and now we're on I, which stands for intercourse.
Intercourse.
Yay. Woo. Intercourse.
Sexy sex.
Okay,
sex.
So obviously sexual intercourse. but this is the jumping off point to ask, for instance, what specific kind of safer sex practices do you use for yourself and with other partners? Because it is also important for you to know, are you fluid bonded with somebody? Yeah. Are you up to date on your STI results? That gives the opportunity for you to also share, these are my STI results. This is the kind of contraception that I use. These are the practices that I use with other partners. So that we know this ahead of time, so that you're not getting into a situation where it's after you've had sex and you realize like, oh, this person doesn't use protection with X, Y, and Z person. And maybe you feel okay with that. Maybe you don't.
Right.
It can also be a jumping off point talking about sex in general. Again, if your partner has a primary partner or is married or something like that, to ask, are there specific sex acts that are off the table? And again, that may be a deal breaker for you. That may not. For me, that would be a deal breaker if it was something really arbitrary, like spanking is reserved only for my primary partnership. And it's like, I mean, I don't even have a huge spanking fetish, but it's like, I like the idea of having the option.
Right.
And it just seems silly. And now that you told me that you can't spank me, now I want it even more.
Damn it, spank me.
Yeah. Or the even more common one of like, are we going to have to wait a certain period of time before your partner's comfortable with us having sex? That's one that comes up really often.
Yeah, where primary relationships will have certain hoops that you have to jump through before you're allowed to have sex, whether it's meeting them, whether it's having dated for a certain amount of time.
Or if it's we all have to have sex together first.
Exactly, we all have to have sex together, yeah.
Lots of different ways it can look. It can also be wrapped up in the safe sex thing, especially if they're fluid bonded with at least one other person, they might say, well, all of us and you need to wait a certain amount of time and get tested before you're allowed.
The three-month thing.
There's a whole range of this. And it's a really important thing to know because it sucks when you think you're about to get it on and you're making out and it's all great. And then it's all like, of
actually.
A sudden, ooh, actually,
yeah.
These things.
Yeah.
Or even worse, you do have sex and then find out later, actually, I wasn't supposed to do that because technically my partner has to say it's okay.
Right,
so when you meet them, could you just not
just pretend that we didn't
that?
Do that?
Whoa,
yeah.
That's fucked up.
And this
it's fucked up, but it happens, man. It happens.
Jesus.
And being stuck in the middle of somebody else's life sucks.
Yeah, definitely.
Not a good position.
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah. Jesus.
Hopefully, you bring up the intercourse question and there's none of this bullshit happening and it's just like, yeah, intercourse, great. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Or if they do have some things, you'll at least know going in.
Yeah.
So you can
make an informed decision.
Exactly.
Give your informed consent. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. What's the next one?
Asking questions. Right. So we're on to E, events. So this is a lot of different types of events, such as play parties, family events, holidays, vacations. Are these off the table? Because sometimes potentially they might be. Like, you know, am I allowed to travel with someone?
Yeah.
Am I allowed to go to Thanksgiving or, I don't know, even Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
Is that a thing that I can do with you? Or are you going to be doing that with a primary partner or someone more established or
can
someone else?
Can we spend like a long weekend together?
Is that going to be an issue? Yeah, like can I travel with you?
Yeah.
This also is related to what we were talking about before about openness. If it's, for example, work events are off limits because of that or I have regular family events, but those are all off limits because, you know, my grandma won't leave me any inheritance if she finds out or whatever
oh,
it is,
Jesus.
Right?
It's just about money.
It's really just very practical. It's just about money. Or like Emily was saying, that it could be more that you have a primary partner, or I'm sorry, that they would have a primary partner who would put limits on you. For example, they can go to play parties, but you can't go with them. That's something that's just their special thing to do. Or even to the extent of there's a certain restaurant that's our restaurant, so sorry, we can't go to that. I've heard of that one actually coming up.
Yeah, yeah. That one's not quite event related, but it is along the same vein of... But
that's what I mean. This one's a little bit broader of what are the events we could do together that are off limits, aside from just the intercourse ones, which we already talked about.
And this can also, you know, if, for instance, you ask this new person and there aren't any kind of particular restrictions or things like that, this can be a jumping off point to go on to ask, like, okay, great. Do you have a particular strategy for figuring out splitting up time for events? Especially if there's like a holiday coming up or something, it's like, well, what are your plans for, like, how do you handle Christmas split between three partners or how have you handled that? You know, just to get their sense of philosophy on how to do time management and how they feel about being able to make sure that everyone in their life feels special and feels considered on special days.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've done multiple episodes on that fact on the holiday and events.
Yeah.
Yeah. And trying to kind of time manage between certain partners, but that's absolutely an important one.
I think if we wanted to keep going deeper with this and broader, I mean, this could extend to asking about life events also. Things like kind of more questions
like
more
having
like
kids
like
married?
Having kids getting
like
married
big, okay,
like
big
are
events.
You intending on getting married or do you see yourself having kids or do you see yourself moving? Again, these are far-reaching questions. These are looking pretty
maybe
far.
Not questions for the first date.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you don't have to necessarily hit all of these on the first
date.
But it might come up. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, actually, events could also be maybe this person you're going on a date with actually does have potential plans to relocate or move somewhere else for work or for some other reason.
Because
I've also come across people where they've started dating someone and that person's primary partner has been in on the conversation all along about moving somewhere else, but the new partner doesn't get to find out until it's only a month away because they're the newer partner who just hasn't brought it up. Maybe they've been too focused on just the NRE and the excitement of getting to know someone that they just leave out little details like that.
Like, sorry, I'm leaving in a month.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah. So this is both, you know, what events can you and can't you do? And then also, are there any big life events coming up?
Yeah,
life events.
Yeah.
Anything you got planned?
Yeah.
All right, Jace, you want to bring us home? What's our last letter?
Let's make it plural here. Movies. So the S in movies is a double duty. So it's actually movies. So this is sleepovers / scheduling, which is really related. And basically what this means is, one, are we allowed to have sleepovers? Because again, if the person you're dating is in a primary relationship with someone else, this one comes up surprisingly often of, we're not allowed to have sleepovers with anyone else. I always have to sleep in bed with my primary partner. That's one. And then the second part, scheduling, which is related, is how much time am I allowed to spend with you? And I want to make a distinction here, because you can also talk about what's your ideal schedule, how often would you like to see me, how much time do you have based on your other commitments, your other things you're doing, your kids, your other partners, your job. But this is specifically, how much time are you allowed to spend with me? Are there limitations on it aside from just what you want? Is it that, well, you can only spend one night a week with all of your other partners besides your primary, and so that's going to have to be split between me and the other people? Is it that you're dating two people now in this town and you only come to town once a month and then I have to split my time with those people? Things like that, again, aren't necessarily deal breakers. Depends on your preferences. But it is really important to know that going in so it doesn't become something that you're resentful of later on.
Yeah.
Or feeling like you were misled.
Yeah, definitely. So, okay, real quick, without looking at the notes, what does movie stand for? Who's going to do it? Jace is going to do it.
I'll do it. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm not looking. M is for metamors.
Yeah.
So who are they and what are my deals with them? O is openness. How out are you? Do I have to keep this secret anywhere? MOV. How do you spell movies?
Good question.
Oh, shoot. What's V?
That should be easy.
Oh, veto.
Yeah.
V is veto. The big
Why
money
the fuck
one.
Would you do that?
The big deal-breaking one. Why the fuck would you do that? Is veto. And then I is everyone's favorite intercourse. What are your safe sex practices? And is there anything that we're not allowed to do? I can spell, I swear. I was on an overnight flight all night last night, just so everyone knows listening at home. I'm running on fumes here. E is for events. Are there events that we can or can't do, and do you have any big ones coming up? And then finally S is for science.
No. So
scheduling sleepovers.
It's for sleepovers and scheduling.
Yay. Good job.
So when you're talking with these potential new partners or you're out on that first date, you can either tell them about movies or you can just have this running tally in your head of, okay, metamors, openness, veto, intercourse, events, sleepovers. Oh, we haven't talked about events yet.
Yeah.
Let's go back and do that.
Yeah. And so, again, you can either be like, I'm going to sit down and we're just going to go through this list and talk about this. Or it can just be you have it in the back of your mind and you can let things kind of play out organically and make sure to check in and be like,
pepper it throughout.
You can pepper it throughout and then. Then you can realize, like, oh, actually, we haven't talked about the veto thing. Like, maybe I should bring that up. You know, just a good little guideline so that you don't have to bring out a printed list of 50 questions to have with you at all times.
Exactly. See, I think this list is specifically for people who are already polyamorous, but this list may look different or it may be kind of amended based on whether or not the person that you're meeting is polyamorous to begin with. Because say they're just a single person.
Yeah.
Well, we may not be talking about certain things.
Yeah, a lot of it's still relevant, though.
But it's also, you know, let's say maybe you are dating a single person and maybe you're established poly. It's a good opportunity for you to explain to that person what your policies are, what your boundaries are, what it is that you expect, you know, so that you can let them in on what kind of context they're possibly stepping into.
Yeah, that is a great
point.
It's
not just learning about them.
Yeah, but this goes both ways. This isn't just grilling them, but this is also things that's important for you to let partners know. And also thinking about if a person were single or maybe they're new to polyamory, not only is it good to have a discussion about some of these things because they might not even be aware that these are potential landmines coming up, but is also a lot of this just applies anyway. The metamors question is essentially asking, are you dating anyone else? Because most single people are used to just leaving out that detail.
Yeah.
But as a poly person, you get to say, hey, are you? That's fine with me. I'm totally cool with that. Let me know. And then openness is related to that of, you know, how open are you about your dating life in general? Are you okay with being seen places together? veto maybe wouldn't apply so much for a single person, although I do think the
question
of...
You can talk about your philosophy and maybe...
Yeah, I'd be interested to know if they did it in the past.
Well, for me, I feel like that would be my opportunity to explain what veto power is and also explain that I don't jive with that and that that's never going to be something that's going to be part of our relationship or part of our agreements.
I was going to say, if this person is new to non-monogamy, it could also be the question of... If you met someone else who wanted you to be monogamous with them, would you just break up with me to do that? Or do you know where you stand on that yet? And maybe that's a little blunt to ask on a first date, but it is a good question to keep in mind. Intercourse, obviously asking about their safe sex practices and what they do and showing that this is something you can have an open dialogue about is important. Events also make sense. Just what events do you have going on in your life? And also, what kind of events might you want to do together? This could also be a positive thing rather than looking for problems. And then sleepovers and scheduling, I think, also still applies. Of, do you... Actually, a great question is, do you like to spend the night?
Because
some people don't.
That's true.
Right? Because there's that trope in TV and movies where if someone doesn't let you spend the night, they're being a jerk. Or if someone doesn't want to spend the night, they're being a jerk. And so sometimes people are hesitant about that. And I actually had a partner where, just for whatever reason with each other, we were both kind of happier not spending the night together. But we did for a while because we... Both kind of thought,
that
I'd be a jerk if I didn't want to do it. And once we eventually talked about it, we realized, oh, you know, I sleep so much better if I just go home. They're like, oh, yeah, me too. That'd be great.
Oh, that makes sense to actually ask that. Because, yeah, I have had situations where people have misinterpreted me leaving to not spend the night, thinking that I wasn't interested. And when I'm just like, nah, man, I just want to, like, have fresh underwear.
So it's a great, great conversation to have.
Well, this is great. So, again... Go to the movies. Don't actually go to the movies for your first date, but go use the movies.
Use the movies.
Use the movies.
Don't go to the movies. Use the movies.
Use the movies.
All right. So if you would like to have your question or your comment played on the show, you can call us at
678-MULTI-05.
You can also email us at info@multiamory.com, or you can send us a message on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. To support our show and join our private Facebook community, go to patreon.com/multiamory. Multiamory is created and produced by Jace Lindgren, Emily Matlack, and me, Dedeker Winston. Our episodes are edited by Mauricio. Our social media wizard is Will McMillan. Our theme song is Forms I Know I Did by Josh and Anand from the Fractal Cave EP.